Amen. The title of the sermon this morning is The Discipline of the Lord. The Discipline of the Lord. This is week 5 of our sermon series, Raising Champions for Christ. And the big idea of this sermon series is that if we work really hard to raise our kids to be successful in academics and athletics and in the arts, but we don't do everything within our power to lead our kids to Christ, and our kids go to hell, then we have failed. What's the point of our kids growing up to be a success in this world if they spend eternity in hell? And we as parents, we can't force our kids to accept Christ. We can't force our kids to love Jesus, but we can sure do everything within our power. As the Bible says, we can make every effort to lead our kids to Christ, and that's what we're called to do. Otherwise, we have failed them. And so today, we're going to talk about biblical discipline, parental discipline from a biblical perspective. Some people say that parents shouldn't discipline their children. It's a very popular viewpoint among intellectual elites. Most Americans don't buy into that because they have kids and they know what it's like. But the idea, and I believe this started with a psychologist named Dr. Spock in the 50s and 60s, but the idea is that you shouldn't discipline your children. You shouldn't spank them. You shouldn't even rebuke them. Instead, you teach them how to behave. You teach them right behaviors, and then you praise them when they get it right. Now, that's a really silly idea. Imagine if a math teacher took that approach with her students. The math teacher taught them the right way, how to do the problem, but she didn't correct them when they were wrong. Instead, she just praised them when they got it right. How effective do you think that math teacher would be? Or imagine if a coach, let's say a basketball coach, took that approach with his players. He just taught them, here's the plays, here's the moves you need to make, here's what you need to do on the court, but then the basketball coach didn't correct them whenever they showed up late for practice or missed practice, or showed up late for a game or didn't play with good effort or didn't play together or didn't follow the plays right. Imagine if he didn't correct them. He just waited for whenever they did something right to praise them. Or even imagine if the government took that approach, the police, for example, and the police said, well, we're just going to tell you the law. We're not going to correct anybody when they get it wrong. We're just going to wait until somebody gets something right, and then we're going to recognize them and praise them. Imagine if you're driving down the road and the police officer pulls you over. He said, officer, what happened? What did I do? He said, oh, nothing. I just wanted to say, good job. You were driving the speed limit. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And what success would the government and a coach and a math teacher have at actually modifying behavior without correction, without discipline? Not very much success. And it's the same with parents. And the reason why that is so is because God created us. He knows how we're made. And the Bible says we need discipline. Our children need discipline. And so we're going to talk about how to do that this morning. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's where the title of the sermon comes from, the discipline of the Lord. Notice that parents need to be doing two things. Your children need instruction. You need to tell them the right way to believe, the right thing to, the right way to behave, the right attitude to have. But they also need discipline. They need instruction, but they also need discipline. You need to correct them whenever they misbehave. An author from the 19th century, a Christian author named John Angel James, he said, so a parent may deliver the best instructions, but if he does not by discipline eradicate evil tempers, correct bad habits, repress rank corruptions, nothing excellent can be looked for. You can be the best teacher as a parent. You can be the most encouraging parent, but without discipline, your children will not go the right way. You won't be very successful. So what does the Bible say about discipline? Here's a definition for you. Discipline is the use of rebuke and the rod to correct ungodly behavior in your child. Discipline is the use of rebuke and the rod to correct ungodly behavior in your child. That's what discipline is. And I just wanted to take that definition piece by piece and give you four statements about discipline, the definition of discipline. Number one, discipline is the use of rebuke. It's the use of rebuke. Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son responds to his father's discipline, but a mocker doesn't listen to rebuke. And notice that this verse defines discipline with the word rebuke. And so that's part of discipline, is rebuke. The dictionary defines a rebuke as an expression of sharp disapproval or criticism. An expression of sharp disapproval or criticism. So a rebuke is very, very important for parenting. It's very, very important for your children that you rebuke them. And what is a rebuke? It's whenever you say, stop that. Don't do that. That's bad behavior. That's foolish behavior. That's ungodly behavior. That's sinful behavior. We don't act like that. That's inappropriate. Don't talk like that. Don't have that kind of attitude. It's when you rebuke your child and whenever you verbally correct them. Sometimes you need to do it with a little passion and to show how serious their behavior is and how seriously wrong they are. Now, you don't need to scream at them and holler at them. A rebuke doesn't involve insulting language or demeaning language, but a rebuke can be sharp. And it's okay if it stings a little bit. And so discipline is the use of rebuke. And then number two, discipline is also the use of the rod. This is still part of the definition of discipline. It's also the use of the rod. And the rod stands for physical punishment. Spanking, pinching, a great way to discipline your child. Spanking is not always appropriate. It's not always possible. For example, what if you're in church and your child is misbehaving and you said, stop talking? That's a rebuke. Stop talking in church. But then your child directly disobeys you and keeps talking. Well, you can't really spank them without taking them out to a place where nobody can hear. And so a good thing you can do is, and I got this from Dr. James Dobson, is you can pinch their trapezius muscle. And so our kids don't have those muscles anymore because they have been pinched so often. But that's a great way to discipline your child. Is you just pinch your child's trapezius muscle and it doesn't do any damage, but it gets their attention. They don't like it. And so that's a good way to discipline them. Now, if you do it too hard, they'll cry just like if you spanked them. So you got to be careful if you're trying to be quiet about it. Proverbs 13:24 says, the one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently. So the rod can also be things like grounding your child, time out, not allowing them to watch TV, not allowing them to play video games, taking away the smartphone if you allow your kids to have that. Something painful, something that really gets your child's attention. It needs to be painful or else it won't motivate them to change their behavior, to modify their behavior. And so notice in Proverbs 13:24, the verse on the screen, that it defines discipline in this verse with the rod. And so there are times as a parent when you need to use the rod. There are times when you need to just use a rebuke. Three, the third part of the definition of discipline is that the purpose of discipline is correction. The purpose of discipline is correction. Notice Proverbs 6:23 and how it defines discipline. It says, for a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way to life. Corrective discipline. That's what discipline is. In fact, the word discipline can also be interpreted just teaching, training. And so discipline is not payback. It's not revenge. It's not wait till we get home and I am going to lay you out because of the way you embarrass me at the store or something. It's not payback. It's not revenge. It's not you letting out your anger against your kids. It's correction. The point is to improve your child's behavior. It's for their betterment. It's to teach them. It's a teaching tool. And then number four, the fourth part of the definition of discipline is that the purpose of discipline is to correct ungodly behavior. It's to correct ungodly behavior. And so Ephesians 6:4, remember it says, we must bring them up in the discipline of the Lord. So the point is not just to get our kids, to use discipline to get our kids to behave the way that we want them to behave. or the way that the world thinks is appropriate. The point of discipline, biblical parental discipline, is to use discipline as a way to correct our child's behavior whenever they don't behave in a way that is godly. We want to correct them and help them learn to live in a godly way, a way that is pleasing to the Lord, a way that is glorifying and honoring to God. Now, I want to go into the Bible now and point out some principles, five principles, biblical principles about discipline. What does the Bible say about discipline? So these are principles about discipline. What does the Bible say about discipline? Number one, discipline is a command. It's a command. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die." That means whenever you punish your child with a rod, you should not be killing them. Okay, but don't withhold discipline from a youth. That is a command from Scripture. So that means that whenever you do not discipline your child, whenever you ignore your child's misbehavior, whenever you laugh at it and think it's cute, you are being disobedient to God. You are sinning against God. In fact, you can tell your child, you should tell your child, whenever you are about to spank him or her, you say, "I am doing this because God commands me to do this. And if I don't spank you, I'm being just as disobedient as you are. I've got to spank you. I must discipline you to be obedient to the Lord." And so you're living in sin if you neglect to rebuke your child. We have to remember that God hasn't called you to be your child's friend or your child's life coach or your child's peer. Peers don't discipline each other. God has called you to be your child's parent, and so you must discipline them. Number two, another principle about discipline from the Bible is that it is an act of love. Discipline is an act of love. There are a lot of people who say, "Oh, I can't spank my child. I just love him too much. I just love him too much." And so people think that spanking is not an act of love, that it's an act of cruelty to a child. But the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that discipline is an act of love. Let me give you just kind of as some sub-points under this number two, let me give you some reasons that discipline should be seen as an act of love. Number one, discipline is an act of love because God does it. God himself is a disciplinarian. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." So how does God handle it whenever his children misbehave? Well, he uses rebuke, and he also uses the rod. God uses physical punishment to, he'll send us through trials and tribulations and all kinds of things to get our attention and to motivate us to modify our behavior, to repent of our bad behavior and become obedient to him. And we know that God is love, 1 John 4:8. Everything God does is loving. And so if God disciplines his children, then we can know that discipline is an act of love. J.C. Ryle wrote in his book, The Duties of Parents, he said, "Reader, if you want to train your children wisely, take note of how God the Father trains his. He does all things well. The plan that he adopts must be right. See then how many things there are that God withholds from his children." Notice that God doesn't give his kids everything they want. "See how often God chastens or disciplines his people with trial and affliction." And so if God, who is perfectly loving, disciplines his children, then that means discipline is an act of love. A second reason that discipline is an act of love is because God commands it. God commands it. And if God is love, then that means his will is best. He only commands things that are good for us, not things that are bad for us. And so God loves your children way more than you do. And if God commands you to discipline your child, it's because he loves them and he wants what's best for them. He only does what is loving. And a third reason that discipline is an act of love is that the Bible declares it. The Bible specifically says discipline is an act of love. It says in Proverbs 13:24, "The one who will not use the rod hates his son, but the one who loves him disciplines him diligently." And so If you love your child, you will discipline him, if you know what real love is, if you understand what real love is. So the Bible declares it is an act of love. A fourth reason that discipline is an act of love is because parents do it out of love for God. Parents, Christian parents, discipline their children out of love for God. If you love God, you will obey his commandments. And so whenever you discipline your child, you can say, I'm doing this because God commands me to do it, and I love the Lord. Therefore, I obey his commands. And that's why discipline is an act of love. You're doing it because you love God and you want to do what he says. And then number five, one more reason discipline is an act of love is because the goal is loving. The goal is to train your children in the way they should go. Your goal is to train your children in the way they should go. You're not trying to train them in a bad way. You're not trying to train them to go in the wrong way or in a destructive way or in a way that's bad for them or in a way that's going to hurt them. You're trying to train them to go in the best way, the way of life, the way of abundant life, the way of eternal life. And for that reason, discipline is an act of love. You're not trying to hinder your children or hold them back. You're trying to propel them forward in a good direction, the best direction, which makes discipline an act of love. Okay, let's go to a third principle about discipline, third biblical principle. We talked about how it is an act of love, and we talked about how it's an act of obedience, it's a command. And number three, discipline is necessary. Discipline is absolutely necessary for your children. Not only is it not an option because it's a command, it's not an option because your children desperately need discipline. Proverbs 22:15 tells us a whole lot about the nature of our children and why they need discipline. It says, foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him. Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. Children, the Bible says, are naturally foolish. You and I are naturally foolish. Now, when the Bible uses the word foolish, it doesn't just mean inexperienced. It doesn't just mean naive. It doesn't mean just mean stupid. And it doesn't mean just ignorant. It also has to do with morality. We are morally and spiritually foolish, naturally. Our children are. And so what that means is our children need discipline because, number one, they don't come out of the womb knowing what is right. They don't know right from wrong coming out of the womb. So you have to teach them and correct their misbehavior because they don't know right from wrong when they're really young. But then sometimes our children, because they're naturally foolish, they know right from wrong because we've taught them, but they don't want to do what is right. They may know what is right, but they don't always want to do what is right. Now, you know that from personal experience in your own life. You often know what is right, but don't want to do what is right. And so that's why our children need discipline. They're foolish in that way. And then often our children, they know what is right. They want to do what is right, but they don't have the willpower to do what is right. They haven't built up the willpower muscles necessary to do what they know they should do and even what they want to do. That takes maturity and that takes parental discipline. And so discipline is absolutely necessary. Discipline essentially is refusing to let your children act the fool. Your children are naturally foolish, and as a parent, I'm not going to let you act the fool. I'm going to correct you, I'm going to rebuke you, and I'm going to use the rod when I have to whenever you act the fool because I'm refused to just let you go your way and act the fool. Proverbs 29:15 is a good, good verse for parents. It says, a rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a youth left to himself is a disgrace to his mother. A youth left to himself. There's two kinds of parents. There are those parents who discipline their children, and there are those parents who leave their children to themselves. They let their children do whatever they want to do. They might advise their children. They might counsel their children. They're there to help their children, but they do not make their children behave. Essentially, the child is in charge of himself, and essentially, the child is in charge of the household in many ways. But the Bible says whenever you neglect discipline, that the child is not going to go the right way. A child left to himself becomes a disgrace to his parents. So if you just have a hands-off, permissive approach to parenting and neglect to diligently discipline your child is just not going to accidentally go the right way. They are going to go down the wrong path. Children need discipline or they will not go the right way. And so essentially, discipline is refusing to let your children be in charge. It's refusing to let your children be in charge of themselves. They're not ready for that yet. And it's refusing to let your children be in charge of the family. You know, in a lot of homes, they have a child CEO. The child is the boss of the family. And you're, as a parent, you're refusing to let your child do that. You're refusing to let them have their way and go their own way. Proverbs 19:18, it says, "Discipline your son while there is hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of his death." And so what this verse is saying is that without discipline, your child is headed for destruction. Your child is headed for destruction physically and also spiritually, eternal destruction without discipline. And so parental discipline is refusing to be a willing party in your child's destruction. I refuse to cooperate with the devil as he is trying to destroy your life. Instead, I'm going to step in and discipline you to try to save your soul and try to save your future, because I'm not going to be a willing party to your destruction. This is also a reason why discipline is an act of love. The Bible defines love, if you remember, as giving someone what they need, not necessarily what they want. And it's doing what is best for someone, not necessarily what makes them feel good. And that's the definition of discipline. Your children need discipline even though they don't want it. And your discipline is what is best for your children even though it doesn't make them feel good. And so discipline is an act of love. If all you try to do as a parent is make your child feel good, then you're going to fail. If all you do is as a parent is try to give your child what they want, then you're going to fail. They are not going to go the right way. John Maxwell said that people change when they hurt enough that they have to. People change when they hurt enough that they have to. People change when they realize that the cost of disobedience is higher than the cost of obedience. And it's the same with your children. We need pain. That's the way God has made us. Pain is the best teacher. And your children need pain, the pain of rebuke and the pain of the rod, in order to help them go the right way. All right, number four, a fourth biblical principle about discipline is that it is wise. Biblical discipline is wise. Romans 11:33 describes the wisdom of God. It says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways." That means we could never fathom the wisdom of God, how wise he is and why he does things the way he does. He's just so much smarter than we are. And you're going to encounter a lot of crazy ideas about parenting. Crazy ideas that have been thought up by people with PhDs and doctorate degrees and psychology degrees, psychiatrists, and all these quote-unquote experts are going to tell you to do things that are completely contrary to Scripture. They're going to tell you, raise your kids like this, and it's totally different what the Bible says. And you must not listen to people like that. You have to listen to God. He is all wise. He knows what's best for us. He created us. He knows our makeup. He knows what we need. He knows what your children need. So listen to the Lord and not to those quote-unquote experts. J.C. Ryle said, "Reader, don't be wiser than God. Train your children as he trains his." And whenever we ignore biblical discipline and try to do what's popular and what we're hearing on the Oprah Winfrey show or something like that, then we are trying to be wiser than God. Revelation 3:19 reminds us about the way God raises his kids. "As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent." And that's the Lord. The Lord disciplines those that he loves. And then one more biblical principle about discipline is that it is beneficial. It is beneficial. There are many benefits of discipline for your child. There's a difference between discipline and abuse. Abuse is whenever you discipline your child and you harm them. you damage them. But biblical discipline does not harm the child, it helps the child. It actually motivates the child to go in the right direction. And so discipline, not only is it not destructive, but it's actually helpful. And the Bible mentions many, many benefits of discipline. Just to give you some examples, Proverbs 6:23 says, "For a command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and corrective discipline is the way of life." And so discipline teaches your child how to live an abundant life, the best way to live. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound to the heart of a youth. A rod of discipline will separate it from him." And so biblical discipline helps your child grow in wisdom. It separates them from that foolishness that they naturally have. Another verse, Proverbs 23:14, "Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol." Sheol is the Hebrew word that was used to just refer to death or the grave. And so it's saying when you discipline your child, you are saving your child from death. Many children do not grow to become adults or do not live to be old adults. They don't live to their senior years. They don't live to experience gray hair because of their foolish decisions when they're young. And good parenting can save your child from that. And then Proverbs 29:15 says, "A rod of correction imparts wisdom." A rod of correction imparts wisdom. That's how you teach your child wisdom. Let me give you, though, some specific benefits that you may not have thought of discipline. Some benefits of discipline. You can write these down. Number one, discipline teaches your child social skills. Discipline teaches your child social skills. This is so important. You know, your child is naturally antisocial. We all are. Naturally, we are antisocial. Our natural inclination is to be selfish and rude and annoying and inconsiderate. That's our natural inclination. And without discipline, your child will grow up to become someone that people don't like. Your child will grow up to be someone that people don't want to work with, that people don't want to work for, that people don't want to go to church with. Your child will become someone that people just don't like. And so your job in discipline is to help your child become sociable, help your child become likable. In an article in the Wall Street Journal, Abigail Schreier said, "Discipline socializes children. They become tolerable to those who don't already love them." You know, you love your child no matter what, but the rest of the world does not. And so if you want your child to be successful and happy as an adult, you have to socialize them, and the way you do that is with discipline. Kids learn social skills not by hanging out with other kids their age. They learn social skills by their parents' discipline. Whenever their parents set a good example of this is good behavior and teach it to their children, and their children misbehave, and the parents say, "Stop acting the fool. Stop acting like that. And if you don't stop, you're going to get a spanking." And that's how children learn social skills. They learn how to become likable. I don't know if you've heard of Jordan Peterson. He's a famous psychiatrist all over YouTube. He wrote a book last year called 12 Rules for Life. If you haven't heard of Jordan Peterson, go listen to his videos on YouTube. You'll appreciate him. He talks a lot about politics and stuff like that, but also just about life. He's a psychiatrist. But rule number 5 of his book is, do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. And why does he say that? He goes on. He says, quote, "Parents are the arbiters of society. They teach children how to behave so that other people will be able to interact meaningfully and productively with them." His point is that if you allow your child to act in a way that you dislike, then other people are not going to like them. And if people don't like your child, they're not going to fare very well in the real world. Luke 2:52 talks about Jesus' childhood. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and what? And with people." That's what discipline does. Discipline helps your child grow in favor with God, but also in favor with people. Your child is going to need people to like them. Your child is going to need to know how to play well in the sandbox with others. Or else they're not going to do well in business. They're not going to do well in marriage. They're not going to do well in church. They've got to learn how to get along with others. They've got to learn how to be social. And so that's what discipline does. Number two, a second benefit of discipline that you may not have thought of is that discipline teaches your child submission. It teaches your child the difficult skill of submission. And, you know, all through your life, you have to submit to people. All through your life. You have to submit to God, for example. You have to submit to church leaders. You have to submit to your husband if you're a wife. You have to submit to your boss. You have to submit to the government. You have to submit to the HOA. You have to submit to the coach. You have to submit to the referee and the rules of the game. All through life, you're going to have to submit. All of us in this room have to submit to somebody. And if your child doesn't learn how to submit to authority, how to live happily under authority, then they are not going to be successful or happy. They are going to struggle. But we don't come out of the womb submissive. We don't like to submit. Our natural inclination is to be completely independent and autonomous of authority. Our natural inclination is to do our own thing, to go our own way, to rule ourselves, to be the captain of our own ship. We like to be in charge of ourselves, and we like to be in charge of everybody around us. We don't like it when people tell us what to do. We don't like to follow orders. We don't like whenever we're not in complete control. That's the way we are naturally. And so how do people learn how to submit to authority and not always buck authority and getting in fights with authority? How do you learn how to submit to others? That's supposed to come from parents and from parental discipline. When you train your children to submit to your authority and to live under your authority, you are teaching them how to live under all authority. You're teaching them how to submit to God and how to submit to the government and how to submit to their boss at work. And so that's why it's so important to discipline your child. Number three, a third benefit of discipline is that it teaches your child self-control. It teaches your child self-control. For your child to be successful and happy as an adult, they are going to need self-control, and they're going to need a lot of it. Self-control, if you remember, is the ability to do what is right even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it. It's the ability to live above your emotions and above your feelings instead of being ruled by your emotions and feelings. Where do we learn self-control? Where do kids learn self-control? They're supposed to learn it from their parents. Parental discipline produces self-discipline. Parental discipline produces self-discipline. When you don't discipline your children, here's what's happening. When you fail to discipline your children, you are letting them do whatever they feel like doing. You're allowing them to be governed by their feelings and by their emotions. And so you're reinforcing a lack of self-control. You're teaching them, just do whatever you feel like doing at the moment. But whenever you discipline them, when you force them to live under your rule, what you're doing is you are teaching them to obey you even when they don't feel like it. You're teaching them to have a respectful attitude even whenever they don't feel like it. And you're teaching them to control their temper and to control their mouth and to control their actions even when they don't feel like it. You're teaching them to sit still and to be quiet and to go to bed on time and to do their schoolwork and to do their chores even when they don't feel like it. So what you're doing is you're teaching them self-control. You're laying the foundation, a strong foundation of self-control. And so as your child grows up, they will be able to make themselves do what they should do even when they don't feel like it. That comes from parental discipline. Another benefit of parental discipline for your child is that it teaches your child sowing and reaping. It teaches your child sowing and reaping, or the law of consequences. God has created the world with a law, a spiritual law. It's like the law of gravity. And it's the law of consequences, of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Charles Stanley says you reap what you sow, more than you sow, and later than you sow. The Bible talks about the law of consequences in Galatians 6, 7. But there are consequences for your behavior. That's how real life works. That's how adult life works. There are consequences for your behavior. If you are habitually late for work, you get fired. If you can't get along with others at work, well, you get fired. If you break the law, you go to jail. If you commit adultery, you'll probably get a divorce. If you don't make church a priority, your spiritual life will suffer. There are consequences for your actions. Now, kids, in order to be happy and successful in life, they have to learn consequences. They have to learn that there are consequences for their actions. When you don't discipline your child, you're telling them, you're teaching them that you can act irresponsibly and you can act lazily and you can act in an ungodly manner and there are no consequences. You can get away with it. You can still get everything you want. You can still have everything, you know, be happy and face no problems. No matter how you behave, there are no consequences. That's not the way adult life works. And so if you want to teach your child to be a happy, successful adult, you've got to teach them consequences. And that's what happens when you discipline them. When you discipline them, you're teaching them there are consequences for your behavior. You can choose to act like the fool if you want to, but you're going to suffer for it. And they see, behavior, consequences, there's a connection there. And that's a very, very important lesson for people to learn. One more benefit of discipline is that it teaches your child saintliness. It teaches your child saintliness. In other words, it teaches your child godly behavior, to live in a godly way, a way that is holy and pleasing to the Lord. And that's really the most important part of biblical discipline, is teaching your child how to please the Lord, how to live in a way that is honoring to God. And again, how does God grow us? With pain and with suffering. You know, pain is the best preacher. Suffering is better than any sermon. And so that's how God trains us. That's how God teaches us how to live in a godly way. So whenever you use pain through discipline, that's how you help your child grow and become godly and live in a way that pleases the Lord. Hebrews 12:11 tells us about discipline, God's discipline. It says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time. Okay, so discipline's not supposed to be enjoyable. Go to your room, play video games. Okay. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so God uses pain to train us in righteousness, and that's why we do it. It helps our children develop godly behavior, saintliness. But you know what? This is a bonus reason. There's one more reason, one more benefit of biblical discipline, but this benefit is not for your child. This benefit is actually for you, for the parent. Discipline is a huge blessing to a parent whenever you have well-behaved children. Undisciplined children will bring you misery when they're young and sorrow when they're old. Proverbs 29:17, it says, discipline your child and it will bring you peace of mind and give you delight. Proverbs 10:1, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son heartache to his mother. Proverbs 17:21, a man fathers a fool to his own sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. You know, children are meant to be one of life's greatest gifts. I always say marriage and children are supposed to be life's greatest gifts. These are two of the best blessings that God could possibly give us. But for many people, parenting is misery. And a big reason for that is because their children are not likable. Their children are not pleasant to be around. Their children make them absolutely unhappy all the time, when they're young or when they're old. And so discipline can be a huge blessing to you. Pastor Tommy Nelson, he said, raising a kid is like raising a Siberian tiger cub. If you don't do a good job early, they will grow up to eat you. All right, let's finish off with the proper method of discipline. The proper method of discipline. And I've got 4 points under this. The proper method of discipline. Number 1, give the proper command. Give the child a proper command. How do you discipline your child? Give them a proper command. What is a proper command? A proper command must not be sinful. Ordering your child to do something sinful is not a proper command. The command must not be impossible or unreasonable. When you tell your child to do something that's beyond their ability, then that's not a proper command. And the command must be understandable. They must understand what you're asking them to do. I don't mean understand the reasoning. You know, there are a lot of times that God commands us to do things and we don't understand why. We're just supposed to obey. And so I'm not saying that your child needs to understand why every time you tell them to do something, but they need to understand what's expected of them, or else it's not a proper command. In other words, if you tell your child to do something, but they don't really get it, they don't really understand what you're talking about, and then you punish them for it, that's not a proper command. Okay? And by the way, this also teaches you the age that you should start disciplining your child. How young should you start disciplining your child? Well, as soon as they can understand your command. And you know, that means before the age of one, you should already be disciplining your child. Well, that trapezius muscle, it works before they even turn one. But your child can't understand everything, but they can sure understand what no means. For our little ones, before they were one, it was no, 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 no. And if they just, at first, they just ignore the no, 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 no. They look at me and they keep reaching for it. And so what did I do? Give them a little pinch right there. And they're like, what'd you do that for? And they reach for it again. No, no. This time they look at me. Not sure what I'm supposed to do here. They reach for it again, give them another little pinch, and then they connect the dots here. Okay, so whenever I violate no, no, I get a pinch. And so very early in life, you teach your child what no means, that when you say no, they don't do it. And you know what happens? That carries with them for the rest of their lives as they grow up. You know, when your child is running into the street or running into the parking lot and a car is coming, all you have to do is say, no, no, and your child will stop dead in their tracks because you've trained them from such a young age. All right, so give the child a proper command. Number two, expect proper obedience. This is so important. If you want to effectively discipline your child, you must expect proper obedience. What is proper obedience? How do we know what obedience is supposed to look like? We know it from the Bible and what God expects of us. And God expects our obedience to be two things. Number one, he expects our obedience to be immediate, and he expects our obedience to be respectful. And that's exactly what you should be expecting of your child. When you tell your child to do something, when you give your child an order, their obedience should be immediate with a good attitude, or else it's not obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And so this is why you shouldn't count to three or to 10 if you're a parent. When you count to three, you're teaching your child delayed obedience. You're teaching them they don't have to obey you right away. They don't have to obey you when you tell them to do something. They only have to obey you when you start counting and when you get close to three. And so you're not teaching them proper obedience. They need to learn how to jump up and do what you say as soon as you give an order, or else it's not obedience. But then also, disrespectful obedience is disobedience. And so when you tell your child to do something, but they do it by throwing a fit and they cry and they just argue with you and they complain about it, that's disobedience. And so you're not just parenting, and you must not just parent for your child's actions, but also for their attitude. Attitude is even more important than actions. If you can focus on their attitude, the actions take care of themselves. Remember, the Bible doesn't just tell children to obey their parents. What does it say in the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and your mother. Honor. What does it mean to honor your parents? It means to obey them respectfully. Obey them with a good attitude. And so that's proper obedience. If your child doesn't obey you properly, that's when you move to number three. Number three is respond to improper behavior with correction. Respond to improper behavior with correction. Remember, that's what discipline is. It's correction. And you're either using rebuke or the rod. And usually when you use the rod, you have to use rebuke as well. But sometimes you'll just need to rebuke your child. Stop that. Don't do that. That's misbehavior. That's inappropriate. But if in cases of strong defiance and disobedience and rebellion, that's when you need to bring out the rod. That's when you need to get more serious, more painful consequences for their misbehavior. And then number four is discipline with love. Discipline with love. 1 Corinthians 16, 14 says, do everything in love. Do everything in love. So as parents, when we discipline our children, we must learn to discipline them in love. Somebody defined discipline as correction driven by love. Correction driven by love. And so we must do it in a loving way. How do you discipline with love? Well, you don't discipline out of anger. If you don't get a control of your temper, then your kids are learning from you to not control their temper. So you've got to discipline with a calm and controlled temper. Don't rebuke your child with harsh and inappropriate language, yelling, insults. Don't discipline without ensuring that your child understands exactly what they did wrong, why it was wrong, and how to correct their behavior in the future. And finally, end your time of discipline by reaffirming your love for them and your commitment to them as a parent. Hey, you messed up, but I love you the same amount, and I'm not mad at you anymore. I forgive you, and I'm not going to give up on you. We're going to keep working together until we figure this out, until you learn how to do this right. And reaffirm your love for them. John Bunyan is the author of the famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress, and he wrote this about parenting in a different book. He said, if you are driven to the rod, in other words, if you have to use the rod, then strike advisedly in cool blood and soberly show them, A, their fault. B, show them how much it is against your heart to deal with them in this way. C, show them that what you do in conscience to God and love to their souls. D, show them or tell them that if fair means would have done, none of this severity should have been. He goes on and says, this, I have proved it, will be a means to afflict their hearts as well as their bodies, and it being the way that God deals with his children, it is the most likely to accomplish its end. J.C. Ryle wrote this in his book. He said, the shortest way to spoil a child or to spoil children is to let them have their own way and allow them to do wrong and not be punished for it. The shortest way to spoil children is to let them have their own way and allow them to do wrong and not be punished for it. In our culture, we seem to make light of spoiling children. In fact, there are a lot of parents that joke about it and say, I know I shouldn't, but I spoil them. I know I shouldn't, but I just love her so much, I spoil her, I do. We've forgotten what it means to spoil a child. The word spoil means ruin, to ruin a child. When you spoil a child, you ruin their adulthood. You are ruining their happiness and their success as an adult. You are failing to prepare them for the future. It's a form of child abuse when you fail to discipline your child. You're ruining them. And J.C. Ryle has it right. He said, what's the shortest way, the quickest way to spoil a child is to let them have everything they want and don't correct their misbehavior. Don't discipline them when they go the wrong way. Just ignore it. Just laugh at it. And let me just say this, parental discipline takes energy. I'm so thankful that Lydia stays home full time with our children because she has that much more energy to put into disciplining our kids. Because, man, there are a lot of parents that work full time, like mothers that work full time. And when they get home from work, they're tired. And they don't have necessarily the emotional and physical strength to really stay on those kids and discipline those kids. But if you want to discipline your children effectively, you need energy. And you need to do it diligently. Zig Ziglar, let me close with this. Zig Ziglar said, a child who has not been disciplined with love by his little world will be disciplined without love by the great big world. Adult life is hard. It's tough. And it's our job to prepare our children for it. And we do that with discipline, godly, biblical, loving discipline. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for all the wisdom in your word. Thank you for teaching us, Lord, how to raise our children so that we can raise them up for you, so that we can point them to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be diligent to discipline our children, to not be lazy parents, to not be emotionally weak parents, but to be stern, to be loving, but just to discipline biblically. We pray for the children in this room, the students in this room, Lord. We continue to pray, Lord, that you would bless them and that you would help them to follow Christ at a young age and become passionate about Jesus more than anything else in this world. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as parents, grandparents, and church family, that we would work together to surround these kids with the environment that they need to grow up to serve you for life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.